Horizon IT scandal. It's thought it might have to repay up to £100 million, potentially making the post office insolvent. Yemen's Houthi group says the latest airstrike by US forces on a radar position will trigger a strong and effective response. The rebel fighters backed by Iran have been firing at shipping in the Red Sea. That's prompted military action by American and British forces. Dr. Hassan Al-Hassan from the International Institute for Strategic Studies says Houthi military hardware is compact and mobile and therefore difficult to disable.
The US and the UK will have to not only have a fairly significant amount of intelligence coming in, but also to conduct a significant amount of strikes that aim to target these moving and mobile Houthi capabilities.
Meanwhile, protesters have gathered outside the UN's headquarters in New York in support of Yemen and Palestinians. Large crowds are also expected at a pro-Palestinian march in London that's just starting. A woman's appeared in court charged with murdering a 7-year-old boy in Pembrokeshire. Papipit Lindsay, who's 42, was arrested at the scene in Haverford West on Wednesday. The favourite to win Taiwan's presidential election, William Lai, has taken the lead in early counting. The vote is seen as crucial for Taiwan's future relationship with Beijing, which wants to bring it back under Chinese control. All the main political parties there strongly oppose that. Kerry Brown, a professor of Chinese studies, says whoever becomes president faces a daunting task.
This is a very remarkable situation where your biggest security threat here is also your biggest source of prosperity. And so you kind of got this real quandary for any leader that wins this race tonight. It is an unenvious job, the hardest job on the planet, probably.
And this afternoon's Premier League action gets underway in half an hour. Chelsea take on Fulham. That's the latest. I'm Tom Howrigan.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
We built this city.
Good afternoon.
We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city.
How are you? Hope you're well.
We built this city on rock and roll. Ah.
You're listening to Phoenix 98 FM. Happy Saturday.
Say you don't know me or recognize my face. Say you don't care, go to that kind of place. Knee deep in the hoopla, sinking in your fight.
Listen to Some of your Saturday afternoon with Spencer Carter and the Weekend Wind-Up. Great pop music, forgotten classics, and some laughs along the way. Every Saturday from midday, only on Phoenix FM.
Good afternoon. As I said, welcome to the Weekend Wind-Up here on Phoenix 98 FM. How are you? Hope you're doing well. Hope you're having a great weekend and you've had a good week as well. Got a great show for you today, as usual. All the usual stuff. So, Take Five, Danny's Choice, Cover for Another. Lots of great music as well. New stuff coming in. And it would be lovely for you to get in touch. Love to hear what you've been up to. How you coping with this cold weather and the January blues? Nearly in Feb, people. Nearly there. You can email me, radio@phoenixfm.com. Or find me on social media, The Weekend Wind Up, on Instagram and Facebook. And on Twitter, @SpenPhoenix. Love to hear from you. It's always a thrill to get a message coming. So I've got some great new music today coming up. Really chuffed. I'm just thinking, what am I going to play for you today? What's the new music? Oh, no. We've got the new one from Apollo Junction. We've got a brand new one from Carrie Underwood, Jess Glynn, and Lenny Kravitz, among others. As you can expect from Phoenix 98 FM, the best quality music around, and chat, hopefully. Whatever you're up to the weekend, what your plans are, if you've gone out and booked any holidays, oh yes. If you're planning the year ahead, or if you're just taking it day by day, get in touch. I'd love to hear from you and hear your stories. Birthdays, anniversary, shout-outs, or general moans, feel free. That's what I'm here for. This is your show. And I'm sure at one point we'll talk about the great TV that's kicked off, The Traitors. Oh, my word! We're loving it, aren't we? But enough of that. Talking of loving it, this next track, been playing it loads lately. This is George Bone with Valencia.
I don't want to wake up. I've fallen in love, 'cause I got a plane ticket just for you. I tell you I've been feeling so alone. I've been trying to do it on my own. Everywhere I go with you, be home. Everywhere I go, I wish I was in Valencia with you. Sun is shining, we got nothing left to prove. You turn my skies into your corner from my blue.
Directors and management at Brentwood Town Football Club wish to offer you an invitation. Come and join us at the Arena Brentwood and support your local team. We're your local community club and a warm, friendly welcome awaits you. Brentwood Town are looking to mount a serious push for promotion this season. Admission is only £10 for adults and accompanied children under 16 are free. Entrance is just £5 for concessions and students, and unaccompanied under 16s can get in for only £3. So join us and be part of our journey.
Need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business? Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer? Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Telford Solicitors have it covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytalford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
The all-new Players Lounge has got everything you need for the perfect night out, with two bars, a restaurant and the best sound and lighting system in Essex. With regular special events and guest DJs, you're always guaranteed a brilliant night at Players. On the 5th of February, it's top DJ Roman Kemp, and on the 12th of February, it's the Stars of House with Marcus Dryden, Mickey Star Lewis and Daryl Privett. Check us out and book now at players-lounge.co.uk.
But I don't mind. Just wanna rock you, girl. I'll have whatever you have. Come on, let's give it a whirl. See, I've been watching you. I like the way you move. So go ahead, girl, just do that ass shaking thing you do.
So you grab the girls and you grab a couple more, and you all can meet me in the middle of a cross. So the air is thick, it's smelling right. So you pass to the left and you sail to the right. Don't be so quick to
away. FM travel news.
Okay, your first travel update of the day today, and the roads are actually not too bad at the moment. Brentwood High Street, as you would expect, is busy with weekend shopping. As you leave the Brook Street roundabout coming into Brentwood High Street, just past the Nag's Head, there was a broken down vehicle earlier. I was passing that way on my way in, which was causing some delays. Traffic's still moving, but slower than usual. There's roadworks in various locations around the borough. We're talking around Brentwood Brentwood Station, and also on the Rayleigh Road in Hutton as well. There's some temporary roadworks causing some issues. But apart from that, all major roads looking okay. Lakeside Shopping Centre, quite congested at the moment, going over into Kent on the bridge. So if you are going to use the M25, I would suggest you plan that accordingly. Now, London Underground. There is a part suspension on the Bakerloo line and also the Waterloo and City line, with severe delays on the Central and a part closure on the Docklands Light Railway. So there are no service alterations to C2C today. That seems to be running okay. And also on Greater Anglia Network, things to be ticking over quite nicely today. So fingers crossed that remains. But obviously, I'll be able to update you in the next hour. This is for Derek, who messaged in saying, could I please play something by one of his musical idols? This is Mr. Barry Manilow, of course.
Last night I waved goodbye. Now it seems years I'm back in the city, where nothing is clear but thoughts of me holding you.
while ago I heard the sound of children's laughter. Now it's quiet, so I guess they left the park. This wooden bench is getting harder by the hour. The sun is going down, it's getting dark. I realize I'm cold, the rain begins to pour as I watch the windows on the second floor. Are on, it's time to go. It's time at last to let him know.
Phoenix 98 FM.
Do you know what, that ABBA song still gets me. I love that, honestly. I cannot tell you, from an ABBA fan, obviously, well, who isn't an ABBA fan, quite frankly? But I know not everyone is, but they are just, when they brought that song back a couple of years ago, and on that press conference when they announced it, it was so moving. I loved it, and it's just a great song. It really is. And honestly, still going strong. We absolutely love them, don't we? Now, I'm changing tack slightly. I'm going to slow it down slightly here. I want to talk to you very, very quickly about the Brentwood Food Bank. Now, we spoke to you quite often before Christmas. I know I did on my show, and many of my other colleagues here at Phoenix 98 FM did as well, talking to you about the great work the Brentwood Food Bank do. Now, they are part of a nationwide network of food banks supported by the Trussell Trust, and they work to combat poverty and hunger across the UK. And on the Tuesday before Christmas, so we are only talking 2-3 weeks ago, the food bank fed 177 people in one day. And just recently, over the last week, they fed 119 in one day. Now, in this day and age, that is just not acceptable, is it, that they're having to do that? And they sadly believe that with the 5% rise in energy prices, that number's just going to go up and people are going to be using food banks more and more. So they are looking for donations. And if you can get in touch with them, please do. You can call them on 01277 224 528, or you can email them info@brentwood.foodbank.org.uk. That's in email, which is info@brentwood.foodbank.org.uk. Now, all this information is on our website as well, so you can go on there and check it out. But they are looking for things like tinned goods, so ham, corned beef, braising steak, chilli, potatoes, meatballs, ravioli, that sort of things. But also really important everyday necessities that we kind of maybe take for granted, like shower gels, shaving, deodorant, toilet rolls, all those sorts of things. And we appreciate it for everybody at the moment. Times are difficult financially, so we're not asking people to, you know, get in any sort of kind of difficulty in supporting this. But if you can afford to do so, even if it's just one item, it will make a difference. So please do get in touch with them and pop along. And if you want more information, as I said, details are on our website, and they would love to hear from you.
Fell into a bucket of cream. Here's two guys that fell into a radio station to talk about movies on Phoenix FM.
So it's cold outside, but we can warm you up with this week's film and DVD review with Mr. CB himself. Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks, Spencer. I'm fine. You?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. Not bad. So what delights await us today?
Well, you know, you saying it's cold outside. You know where it's warm? Cinemas.
That's true.
So, you know, let's hope that the movies we're talking about this week are worth going to the cinema.
One of my pet hates in the summer is cinemas not having their aircon on. Oh. It's one of my moans.
Do you know what? There's some cinemas out there, independent cinemas, who I love the fact that they put on their boarding, we've got air conditioning.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the movies that are in cinemas now, and also on DVD and Blu-ray. We've got one of those as well. But in cinemas now is a movie that is being spoken about a lot. It's going to get a lot of nominations come awards time, because we are in awards season. It's going to be one of these movies that a lot of people are going to see and going to talk about for a long time. Whether they like it or not, that's a different thing. This is a movie called Poor Things, P-O-O-R, basically. And it's about Bella Baxter, who's a young woman brought back to life by the brilliant and unorthodox scientist, Dr. Godwin Baxter.
Right.
Now, this is... Okay, so this is a Marmite movie. No two ways about it. You're either going to love it or hate it, I think. And that's in part because it is a very unique film. And the director, Yorgos Lanthimos, is a very unique filmmaker. What he's done with Poor Things is taken the Frankenstein story, gender-flipped it, and then added his own stylistic touches, which include, and not limited to, steampunk, fantasy, sex, satire, feminism, and more and more and more. Basically, I was riveted with this piece of work. It's in a way that I'd never seen before as well. It's such a strangely compelling piece, and I totally fell for everything it was showing. So we have Bella, who is not a monster in the traditional Frankenstein's monsters sense. She's beautiful, she's confident, she's wanting to learn so much about everything, and she's doing that under her... she calls him... Well, she doesn't call him father or anything else like that. She actually calls him God. Obviously, his name is Godwin. So she's learning that under Godwin, but she falls in... I'm going to say lust, not love. She falls in lust with a guy called Duncan Wedderburn, who is a rascal. He is an absolute rascal. And she decides to run away with him to Europe and have this crazed, sex-fueled relationship. But the more Bella learns about the world, the more she drifts away from Wedderburn to become her own woman. So this is a story about a strong, powerful female who has been reanimated in a lab and yet has more knowledge and energy than a lot of women and men she meets along the way. Now, that's the main crux of the story. Then we have to talk about the visuals. Yorgos Lanthimos has shot this in all the different ways possible. So it's in 4:3 ratio, it's in 16:9 ratio, it's in all the other ratios. He's used concave and convex camera lenses. He's used a fisheye lens. It is a movie where it is an ever-changing look. And it
sounds like it's a feast. It's like so much.
It is. It's constantly changing. Just as you get used to a camera or a style, it changes. And it keeps you on your toes. That's what I like about it. It just keeps you going. You're going, oh, I've got to look at the style of this, but I'm also trying to figure out what's happening with the story. The visuals themselves as well, the styling, the colour styling. It's either grey and dreary or colourful and vibrant. So much so that it's like the old Technicolor movies from classic Hollywood era of like the 1930s, 40s, 50s. Then you add into the mix this almost fantasy element within the storyline, and it just kind of boggles your mind. Like there's things in this that would not be out of place in a Guillermo del Toro movie. I'm not talking about they're scary, just weird. So like, for example, every time Dr. Godwin Baxter burps, a large watery bubble comes out of his mouth and floats up into the air. Everybody can see this, but it's only him. So what you've got is a film that isn't playing by standard cinematic rules. And I loved it for that. I loved the fact that it didn't care what lens it was using, what ratio it was in. It was just so compelling. As I said, keeps you on your toes for everything.
Can I ask you a question? Sorry to interrupt. Does it feel forced, or does it feel quite natural and organic, all the different elements?
Do you know what? It's neither of those. That's the weird thing. It sits in the middle of both of those, in that you are, as I said at the beginning, it's a Marmite movie. You're either going to love the fact that it changes all the time, you're going to hate it. It isn't organic. It is at times very forced, but that's to do with the story. That's to do with the film itself. And it's the first time I've seen something like this where it goes, I'm changing. And, you know, it's like a big clunk of a change as well. And normally I would say to you, Spencer, oh, clunky changes, and, you know, not very good. This one does it in such a way that it makes it noticeable and it doesn't care. I like that about it. But then I like that, you know, I like the story as well. I like this female Frankenstein story. And I've got to mention the casting. Emma Stone plays Bella Baxter, and she's tremendous. She brings a lot of silly fun to the character, but also a lot of empowerment as well. The more she goes on, the more she learns about herself, the more she learns about feminism, the more she learns about the world in general and the way that they treat women. So there's a lot going on within that character. You've got Willem Dafoe as Dr. Godwin Baxter, who I think is a natural fit for this character. It's kind of weird and odd and fascinating all in the same moment. And you're kind of thinking, I don't know what's going on with him. You never really get an angle of him. Then you've got Mark Ruffalo as Duncan Wedderburn, who, you know, you said to me last week, Spencer, you think he's vastly underrated as an actor.
Yeah, absolutely.
In this, do you know, the only way, I was watching it, and the only way I could describe most of this performance that Mark Ruffalo gives is that he is channeling Rick Mayall's Lord Flashheart in it.
Okay.
Yeah. That,
anyone under 40 will not probably get that reference, but that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's you know, it's so over the top. It's incredibly funny, but it's also a little bit sad. And it is quite adult. You know, it's not... It's close to Flashheart. It's not Flashheart, but it's close to Flashheart. I mean, I don't imagine Mark Ruffalo's seen Lord Flashheart. Well, maybe he has. I don't know. But it does feel like there's a Flashheart in there. I thought he was sensational in this. I'm quite surprised there hasn't been more talk of him for awards nominations in this performance. I thought he was very, very good. Emma Stone is as I said, tremendous in this as well. Yeah, I just thought the whole casting was sensational. But then that's a word I would use to describe the movie as well. Sensational. It's got to be seen to be believed. That's the thing about this movie. It's an updated Frankenstein story that is retro-futurism. It's quirky and odd and sexy and funny. And you just won't see anything like this at all. And that's why it's going to split people down the middle. You know, people are just going to absolutely hate it because it is not a standard way of making a feature film. And yet I loved it for that. I loved everything about this. I completely sold on it. I think it's absolutely brilliant. It's such a standout because of its uniqueness, I think.
Do you think that, I'm scared saying this, but this could be potential for one of your films of the year, top films of the year?
So I saw this last year, and if this had come out last year, I would have put it in my top 10 films of 2023.
Oh, right, okay.
I mean,
okay.
Look, we're only early into January, so I don't want to be going, hey, look, it's the best film.
That's what I was asking, yeah,
I'm just hesitant to say that because we've got a few more weeks coming up where I might be saying that as well. But yeah,
I'm going to bookmark this for December.
Genuinely... I mean, I don't know what's coming up with the rest of the year, but as of right now, you know, it's up there. And as I said, if this was out last year, I certainly would have put it in there. I certainly would have put it in there.
That's amazing. Right, what's next? Cab off the rank, please.
So, you remember the film The Exorcist? You might have seen it.
I do. And I've always had a slightly odd view of The Exorcist because it is this groundbreaking, terrifying film, but I've never found it as shocking as people thought.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. It's the subject matter is very uncomfortable, of course, and it's and I can understand why, you know, but I was too young to remember to obviously see it at the cinema, and and I remember the reports of people vomiting and fainting and all of this, and I don't know whether or not we're a little bit more accustomed to that sort of horror now, so we're kind of a little bit more kind of desensitized to it, but I really like it, and I think it's a groundbreaking film. I don't think I'm up there with the complete awe and fandom that it has, if that makes sense.
I get where you're coming from, Spencer. I get where you're and because time has moved on as well, that's the thing, as you said. You know, for me, I think it is arguably one of the scariest movies ever made, still to this day. You know, and there have been many that have tried to make a sequel and have failed. Exorcist 3 actually is a very good movie. It shouldn't have been called Exorcist, but it's a very good movie. There was a decent TV series actually made about The Exorcist about 5 or 6 years ago that unfortunately was treated very badly. But, you know, there have been many sequels and prequels since the original Exorcist that have failed miserably. Now we have The Exorcist Believer. And this is from David Gordon Green, the director, who also did the recent Halloween movies. The trilogy. So he's done this one. Now, So you clearly know, obviously, where he's coming from is that he is a big fan of these classic horror movies. This one is about two girls who disappear into the woods and return 3 days later with no memory of what happened to them. The father of one of the girls seeks out Chris McNeil, who's been forever altered by what happened to her daughter 50 years ago. Hence the callback to the original. Well, you know, I've talked about what's been good in terms of Exorcist sequels and what's been bad in terms of Exorcist sequels and prequels, sorry. This one is a complete dud. It's just really boring. It's a possession story that doesn't really have anything to do with the original movie, except one character, Chris McNeil, appears for a brief time and relives her history. The new storyline is trying to do its own thing, but it's really boring. And I think if you didn't have Exorcist in the title, I would have thought this was a straight to DVD cheap Exorcist knockoff.
It's
not going anywhere. It's not building that tension that horror movies should do. And when you get to the possession scenes, I just found them lacking the fear. You probably watch them and yawn your way through them, that's how bad they were. And there's a new it's not a new thing, this has been happening for maybe 10 or 15 years, that when you have children in a movie like this, in a possession movie, suddenly it seems to be, I say suddenly, as I said, 10, 15 years has been going on, there seems to be this thing where because kids are possessed, it means that the filmmakers can get them to say naughty words. I'm sorry, but it's just not interesting. It's not scary. It's not even funny. It's, you know, it's not what people want to see. It's not what people want to hear. I get what they're trying to say is that actually it's not the children that are saying it. You know, they are possessed. But we've seen this many times.
But it's shock value. That's what they're doing it for, yeah?
Thank you. It's shock value. It's not shocking anymore. It was shocking 15 years ago. It's not shocking anymore. I'm not a prude. You know, listen, that's the way it is. But it's tired. It's cliched. Just because you can do it doesn't mean that you should do it. I think it smacks of lack of creativity. That's what is happening here. But that's the whole film in general. It wants to be a sequel, but it also wants to be its own thing. And the problem is there is too much iconography from the original Exorcist film that makes it feel like some sort of terrible greatest hit selection, but done with half the budget of the original. I mean, even the opening scene of this movie with two dogs fighting reflects back to the original, to the imagery of the original film right at the beginning as well. You know, it's little touches like that that I'm sure the filmmakers thought, this is cool. Yeah. This is cool. Let's knock back to that and to this, and, you know, people will get it. It's not. It just looks like you're copying that movie shot for shot.
It's lazy. It's lazy.
Thank you. It's lazy. It's really lazy. It's like they don't know how to do their own storytelling. You're copying tropes that have been done to death now because of the original movie, and cliches that have been done. You know, there's so many cliches in this when it comes to a possession movie that it's just, as I said, it's boring. It left me completely bored. The only scary bit was how much time I wasted watching this movie.
Oh, dear. Yeah. But sometimes, you know, they try and be really clever, don't they? And they just try and do it. And it, as we just said, it's just absolute laziness. And it's not thinking of the viewer and the audience, really.
It's not. And the thing is, you know, we go back to that Halloween, that recent Halloween trilogy. And I'm a big fan of the first movie. I felt like it disappeared completely into itself by the end of the second and the third one. I mean, don't know what that was. This is the problem with this movie, is that it feels like that third Halloween movie where it's trying to stand on its own two feet, but it's also trying to hark back to the original stuff as well. And you're like, you've got to forge your own path. You're not doing it here. You're just getting kids in. Let's not just have one child who's possessed. Let's have two. Okay?
Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane.
But it's like, what are you doing beyond that? You're not doing anything else that we haven't seen before, and you're not making it scary.
What a shame. What a shame.
Yeah, I mean, it's on DVD and Blu-ray now, if you want to take your chances.
No, I'm going to listen to your advice and I'm going to swerve this one. Thank you very much. What do we have lined up for next week?
So next week, we're going to be talking about a movie called The Holdovers, which stars Paul Giamatti. He's been getting a lot of awards nominations recently. We're also going to be talking about a film that's going to Netflix. It's called The Kitchen. And this is executive produced by Daniel Kaluuya. It's all set in London. It's kind of like a post-apocalyptic future thriller. Then, if you subscribe to the podcast, we're going to actually do a couple of extra movie reviews. We're going to do. I'm going to talk about a box set out that's from a certain director from Mexico called Coffin Joe. And I don't mean like he's got a cough. But no. Coffin, as in he lives in a coffin.
Right.
Okay. He's an iconic filmmaker in Mexico, and some of his movies over the years have sort of come out of Mexico and been quite influential for filmmakers like Quentin Tarantino, like Guillermo del Toro, people like that. So there's a box set out. We're going to talk about that. But we're also going to be talking about The Marvels, the Marvel movie, which came out last year.
Yep.
Sort of didn't set the box office alight, was not well received. You've seen it. I have not seen it yet. So we're going to talk about that. It's going to be interesting to see where we go, because both you and I have had some interesting things to say about Marvel over the past year, I think.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about it next week, but I really liked it. But we'll talk about it then.
Well, I might have to bring my boxing gloves.
Bring them on. Bring it on.
We wait to see. Look, I could be in the same one as you. I could be in the same boat as you. I know I love it as well. We wait to see. But yeah, we will be reviewing The Marvels next week.
Fantastic. Well, listen, thank you much for today. You have a great weekend, and I will see you next week.
Will do. You too.
Take care, mate.
Miss this week's film reviews? Then listen again on phoenixfm.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
98 FM.
The first time or last that I think about you.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM. News.